Hello, and welcome to Worship from the West Highland Peninsulas. As you can see, autumn is with us. The leaves are falling from the trees, but this is opening up more views. God gives each season its own beauty. We're continuing with our short season on services based on Psalms, and our call to worship a word from Psalm 85. I will hear what the Lord God has to say, a voice that speaks of peace. Peace to his people and to those who turn to him in their hearts. So let us worship God.
Let us join together in our prayer of adoration and confession. Let us pray. Almighty God, in hope, in praise, with hearts open to the possibilities of your love, to the wonder of your grace, we come before you in this building, in our homes, wherever we are, apart in space, but united always in your eternal care. In humble dedication, we present ourselves in prayer, asking for help, hoping for change, desiring greater understanding of your presence in our lives and in our world. In this time of great change in your church here and all over the world, grant us the boldness to commit ourselves to your message and mission, in the hope that it will bring hope to a world so in need of your love. as our world continues to grapple with disease, destruction, violence and want. Be with those in need, all those ostracised, all those left behind, and guide us and all those with the power to do so, to change and to help wherever and whenever we can. As we each bring before you our own prayers, said and unsaid, be with us today as we remember all that we have been given, all that you have done, and help us to be nourished and renewed through your unending love, through the power of the Spirit, and through the constant presence of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
Words from Psalm 127. If the Lord does not build the house, the work of the builders is in vain. If the Lord does not protect the city, it is useless for the sentries to stand guard. It is useless to work so hard for a living, getting up early in the morning and going to bed late. For the Lord provides for those he loves while they are asleep. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. The sons a man has when he is young are like arrows in a soldier's hand. Happy is the man who has many such arrows. He will never be defeated. When he meets his enemies in the place of judgment. Amen. A reading from Mark chapter 12, reading from verse 38. As Jesus taught them, he said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law, who like to walk around in their long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, who choose the reserved seats in the synagogues and the best places at the feasts. They take advantage of the widows and rob them of their homes, and then make a show of saying long prayers. Their punishment will be all the worse." As Jesus sat near the temple treasury, he watched the people as they dropped in their money. Many rich men dropped in a lot of money. Then a poor widow came along and dropped in two little copper coins, worth about a penny. He called the disciples together and said to them, "I tell you that this poor widow gave more in the offering box than all the others, for the others put in what they had to spare of their riches. But she, poor as she is, gave all she had. She gave all she had to live on." Amen.
As we heard last week, psalms were meant to be sung. They were the ancient hymns. From what we can understand of the various instructions associated with many of the psalms, a variety of instruments would have been used, producing different musical effects to complement the different styles of psalm: praise, prayer, lamentation, contemplation, some forceful and some quiet, some sung by the whole people, some by soloists, some where the people would reflect the words sung by a leader. Over the ages, hymns and songs have been used to teach people. It's often easier to remember words associated with a tune than words alone. I wonder how many of you can remember hymns you've sung recently, and how many remember the sermons. One of my tutors used to say that he didn't mind who preached in his church, but he himself would choose the hymns, because that is what the congregation would remember. I think he slightly exaggerated how little he minded who preached.
Then what about nursery rhymes? Sunday school choruses? Do you remember those? Or do you sing along to a pop song from your earlier years if you hear a snatch on the radio? Psalms enable people to learn about and to remember what God had done, how God's presence had been experienced in the life of Israel. The psalm we just heard, Psalm 127, is one of the songs of ascent, a psalm that people would have sung on the approach to Jerusalem when they were coming to attend the festivals, to attend the temple, the Lord's house. And it certainly was an ascent, a climb, in that Jerusalem is more than 2,500 feet above sea level. As you approach it, you can see it sitting high above on a hill and surrounded by other hills. The words of the psalm would come alive as the pilgrims saw the city walls and thought of the temple, the Lord's house, and the city the Lord guarded. They may also have remembered that when God had been forgotten or ignored, things had gone badly wrong. House, of course, doesn't just mean a physical building. Another understanding of house is the generations of a family, of a people. The house of David, the house of Israel. Today, the British royal family may be referred to as the House of Windsor. And house, meaning people, does not just apply to important people, important families. Continuing the family name and the family interests through the generations, continuing the house is still considered important by many today. And the second half of the psalm links with this. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Sons were seen as primates of importance. Daughters would leave the family home on marriage and move in with their in-laws, making no further contribution to the work in their own parents' house. Sons stayed at home and brought their wives into their parents' homes, where the wife, the daughter-in-law, would take a share of the household duties. Sons would work in the family business and support their parents. That would include helping to protect the family interests in legal matters, business dealings, and disputes. The gate of the city was where such discussions and meetings took place. It was where the judges sat, and contracts were confirmed, disputes resolved, etc. Possibly the most important words in this psalm are three words which appear twice in verse 1. Unless the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. In other words, don't ignore God, cut him out of our daily lives. Unless we're working with God, we'll probably waste a lot of time and effort. God created everything, our world, ourselves. He knows how things should be, how they work for the best. Following God's guidance, God's ways, does not mean that we won't have to toil, to work long days sometimes, but it will be fruitful work and lead to fulfillment. The first two verses of the psalm could be seen to say, in more poetical style, Remember who made you. Follow the manufacturer's advice. Perhaps some of us can remember buying an item and failing to follow the manufacturer's instructions with unfortunate results. When we as an individual and a society fail to follow our manufacturer's advice, fail to follow God's instructions to love, to care for the whole of God's family and God's creation, the results are often far worse than just unfortunate. Violence, oppression, starvation, despair. Our gospel reading compares scribes who didn't follow God's advice, God's instructions, with the widow who gave all to God. Originally, scribes were people who made copies of religious texts, but in time they took on the role of teachers, reading texts aloud, translating and explaining them. They were a group, a profession, that was regarded with respect. Some were pious, wise individuals who sincerely tried to follow God's ways. But some appeared more interested in themselves than in God. They'd become self-centered in a, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this attitude? They liked the status and acted to shore this up, to increase it. They wore long robes, proclaiming their social position. They expected to be treated with subservient respect and have the best seats in the synagogue and at banquets. They tried to emphasize their holiness by saying long prayers to impress people. One could say that these prayers were really addressed to the people, not to God. They would build up their own wealth by taking from others, widows' houses. They were certainly not following their Maker's advice or instructions, as Jesus made clear. Beware of the scribes who liked to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. The poor widow, on the other hand, acted sincerely, purely, and generously. She gave all that she had to live on for the worship of God in the temple and is commended by Jesus. How do we react to this part of the story? Do we think that perhaps someone should have told her that it wasn't necessary for her to give those coins? Just go and buy food for herself? Do we feel humbled by her generosity? Do we feel humbled by her faith that God would provide for her? Uncomfortable questions. But something the gospel does clearly show is the divide between rich and poor. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Jesus said, "This poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The money given to the temple not only provided for upkeep and costs associated with worship, it also provided for almsgiving, the money that the temple authorities would give to those in need. The temple provided the social security of the day. There should have been sufficient for all, but the society was not working together as a community, as a family, as God's family, was not universally following their Maker's advice and instructions to love and to care. Over the last 18 months or so, we have seen some bright light shine where people have come together to help others. Help in so many ways during the pandemic, and also help when people have had to be evacuated from their homes, for example, because of flooding, wildfires, gas explosions, showing love, care, and generosity. Knowingly or unknowingly, following their Maker's instructions. Do we, as individuals, daily seek God's guidance, follow His instructions, so that we can be bright light, shining and bringing hope to the dark places around us? Stretching out beyond our own immediate families, to the community families surrounding us, and further afield to the family throughout the world. How much of nations, our own and others, come together to work as one worldwide community, one worldwide family? Both the pandemic and the climate crisis demand a working together. Will that demand be answered? No one nation can resolve the issues threatening our planet. These are complex issues, and there are probably few overnight solutions. Letting go of national interest to support others requires courage. The recent leaked climate documents show how various countries are trying to amend the scientific report to protect their own interests. But rather than just condemning them for wanting to prevent their economies collapsing, perhaps we should all be working together to find ways to support each other in taking the necessary steps, in following our Maker's advice. Are we willing to support leaders who view the global family, not just the Scottish or British or national family, wherever we may be? Are we willing to show even a fraction of the generosity of the poor widow? Are we willing to follow our Maker's advice and instructions and rely on His help? Amen.
Let us join together in our prayers for others and ourselves. Let us pray. Loving God, Father, Son, and Spirit, with us now and always, we come in prayer for others and ourselves. God of creation, we come in wonder and awe at all that you have done, all that you have made, all that you have given. But we come in prayer for our world, for our planet, for our home. Help us to be better custodians to care for your creation and ensure that the damage already done will not continue. God of redemption, we come humbly to this place of sanctuary, to this time of worship, together in your name. But we come in prayer for all those who are disenfranchised, all those impacted by greed and violence, all those left behind. Help us to be better friend and neighbour. Help our leaders to care for all. Help our country and community to work constantly for peace and security at home and in every place. God of sustenance, we come this week in challenging times for your church, in difficult times for your people, in uncertain times for your congregations. But we come in prayer for hope that we will find new ways, for boldness to try and to trust, for confidence to walk through the door that you hold open, even though what lies ahead is unknown. Loving God, Father, Son, and Spirit, with us now and always, in your compassion, your love and your care. You came among us and stayed among us. So be with us and hear our prayers for others and ourselves. Amen.
As we consider our offerings, let us pray. Loving and ever-present God, help us to be generous givers, both of our money and our lives, that we might make a difference in our communities and in our world. We ask this through your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave all that he was, that we might know life in all its fullness. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
For brokenness, hope for despair, Lord, end the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace, sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cure for their ills, work for the craftsmen, trade for their skills, land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak, voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear, cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green, Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. God of the poor, friend of the compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, our future, our dreams. Lord, end our madness, carelessness, greed. Make us content with the things that we need. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion. Thank you. breath, breathe on this flame until your justice burns brightly again, until the nations learn of your ways, seek your salvation and bring you their praise. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion.
Loving and ever-present God, show us the way we should go. At each crossroads in our life, help us choose the right path. Help us to do what is right. Help us to act courageously, to love our neighbours and to forgive our enemies. And may your blessing, the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and upon all who we love and upon all God's children everywhere, today and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for sharing with us in our online worship. At aksm.org.uk are details of all the forthcoming occasions for worship and other activities around the parishes of Strontian, Ardgour and Kingairloch, Morvern, Acharachal and Ardnamurchan. Thursday is Armistice Day, and at 6 o'clock at Treeslake Hall there will be a gathering for a short act of remembrance beside the war memorial which has been relocated at Treeslake Hall. And then on Sunday there will be worship at Strontian Church. We'll gather a little earlier than we have been, 10:45 on the 14th of November for our Remembrance Day service. And then at 12 noon at Strontian War Memorial the wreath will be laid. Details of the times for the other wreath layings you'll see on screen now. God bless you all.
shine upon.